This is the Toronto Today podcast. I'm your host, Greg Brady.
Day five for University of Toronto this morning. I drove by there Friday. I didn't today. A little bit of a later start. There's nothing going on at 4:30 in the morning. The key is to go there at 9 o'clock and see whether you can get in the grounds. Again, by what authority? We played you a clip of a person who identified himself as a Jewish professor at U of T, and he wasn't allowed to walk across the grass at this encampment. The fence that was put up by U of T to prevent a potential protest or encampment from taking place is now a clear advantage and asset for the protesters themselves. I thought the best statement I've read so far was from Ben Sasse, who's the president of the University of Florida. And I know you're going to roll your eyes and go, oh my goodness, Florida, they do things differently down there. Yeah, they do. And I wonder if, at least in this context, this isn't the better way. Here's what he says. At the University of Florida, this is from Saturday, we've patiently explained two things to protesters. We'll always defend your rights to free speech and free assembly. But if you cross the line on clearly prohibited activities, you'll be thrown off campus and suspended. In Gainesville, that means a three-year prohibition from campus. That's serious. We said it, we meant it, we enforced it. We wish we didn't have to, but the students weighed the costs, made their decisions, and will own the consequences as adults. We're a university, not a daycare. We don't coddle emotions, we wrestle with ideas. Email this statement to every college and university president across the country. U of T, McMaster, where they just started an encampment there. It's perfectly stated, it's succinct, you don't have to say anything else, that's that. We don't coddle with emotions, we wrestle with ideas. That's what the school is supposed to do. We teach you to think, we don't tell you what to think, plain and simple. Eric Hamm, speaking of universities, is an economics professor at Toronto Metropolitan University. And I hope you're still, you haven't quite made that application to teach at the University of Florida. But I'm sure that president's statement rings a bell for you and resonates.
You know, Greg, it's called leadership. And I've been talking about this for a long time. This is the void missing right now. It's missing in our mayor's office. Sometimes it's missing in our police chief's office. And I know it's missing in most of the president's offices across universities. And I have to tell you a little personal story. Mm-hmm. Today's going to be relatively interesting, not to hijack your show. But at my university, it is our big, twice a year, annual general meeting of my faculty association. And I've already been nicely asked to please not bring my Star of David Zoom background to the meeting. Now, what's interesting is, of course, I'm asked that by people who wear keffiyehs at every meeting. So I'll let you know how this goes, but I can rest assured two things. A, I'm going, and B, so is my Star of David background. And let's just see how this plays out.
Yeah. I want to know more about that, and I want to follow up on that as we move along during the week. Let me get to Canada Post. I don't get this one. Whatever number you told me Canada Post is losing in terms of money, well, it's higher than I ever would have imagined. $748 million last year. And we know the letter writing industry, I would make the case, isn't even an industry anymore. But people still have to deliver goods and they have to deliver things of note. But $748 million for a crown corporation is really, really bad news when we see an increase in spending on public servants in this country.
Oh, it's just, it's so sad. I mean, but it's a model of where we're going today. Yesterday's highly labor-intensive system does not fly in our present capital-intensive world. I mean, it is just a model of inefficiency. And I think what's sad right now, other than the obvious, is that people are conflating Canada Post with our nation's history. But I think that this is kind of faulty, Greg. Our nation's history is wrapped up in many practices and procedures you wouldn't tolerate today. So arguing to support or prop up Canada Post in its present form, to me, that's no better than arguing for open heart surgery, but let's not have the use of bypass. I mean, this is really called progress. Even though, let's be honest, progress always leaves some sector of the population, let's call it occupationally vulnerable.
They've been losing money since 2018, and the notation is in the last 6 years, their losses have totaled $3 billion. And I think we could all say when we used to have to mail a package, it almost was our only option. But let's even say for envelopes, you know how it's university application season. Every university application I would have sent would have involved various stamps of various worth, of various color. I can't remember the last time I bought a stamp, and I'm sure most adults, and especially young adults, Eric, are not alone. They don't even know where to get one, probably.
You know, one of the things that makes my students sit up and take notice is when I tell them that when I was their age, there was one company if you wanted to make a phone call, and one company if you wanted to watch television. But you know what? That's an old model. Monopolies really aren't working anymore. This is a world of competition. It's a world of technology, research, and development. And Canada Post is, to use that old expression, just running the same play over and over again, hoping it improves. It's not going to improve. It is really time to deep think this. But this is one of the themes of when you and I talk. It's really time to deep think a lot of things. It just doesn't happen quickly.
I know we talked about the impact of the boycott of Loblaws stores. Sylvain Charlebois, who's known as the food professor out at Dalhousie, noted that Loblaws stock has gone up. We don't know if their sales have, but their stock has gone up, and that's made every shareholder and obviously the Weston family richer since this so-called boycott began. But I want to get a sense from you whether smaller grocers and co-ops, if there is sort of a game plan. You and I aren't experts at running a grocery store, but I do wonder, and especially maybe in smaller communities, because we all need to eat, whether there's a way to go independent. We know independent pubs can exist, independent hairdressers, independent gyms that don't have to be part of a big chain. Could we do the same with grocery stores?
I think the problem is like starting any other infant industry or infant shop, and that is barriers to entry. It's very, very expensive to come into any market. And as much as I said last week, I don't think this is going to have any effect at all on Loblaw's bottom line. I think that, you know, there may be a small, negligible positive effect on the smaller independent people that are outside of the urban centers. But at the end of the day, and I hate to say this, but it's true. When the big three or four companies that sell food really want to take back their business, they can just unilaterally drop their prices. And at the end of the day, you're going to watch people run back to where things are cheaper. Even if that cheaper doesn't last very long, it's enough to get people to come back to the store. Listen, economics is not unlike many arguments in this world. Size matters. And these are huge, massive corporations. And when they want to take back their business, I think they'll have very little trouble, Greg.
Got to leave it there. Eric, thanks so much. Keep us posted on that meeting later today, and good luck. We've got your back here.
You will hear about it first. Stay healthy, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Today podcast. We drop the highlights of The Daily Show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can hear the entire show on the radio, at home, on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa or say, hey, Google. Play 640 Toronto or Toronto Today. You can hear us on between 5:30 and 9 weekdays on 640 Toronto. Have a great day.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.